Photography podcast number 28 on photography.ca, tips on how to pose models for September 23rd, 2007. Hey there, everyone. How's it going? Welcome to the 28th podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco, and we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Well, did you like our new intro music? Did you? I wanted something a little more whimsical. All we had was just that shutter, and although it was good, you know, I kind of thought it was time to maybe, you know, bring it up a level and put in some intro music. So I contacted a friend and fellow podcaster, Mark Blevis, and he put that together for me. And I'd love to hear your comments about it. I think it's kind of whimsical and it totally fits my personality. And I think it also fits the show, but I'd love to get some comments. Well, first off, I'd like to thank Gideon Jay for his comment on last week's podcast on wide-angle photography. He seemed to suggest that he's going out to buy a wide-angle lens because of the podcast, and my goodness, I'm glad I was able to encourage you because wide-angle lenses are fantastic. He also commented on the roses shot that I put up for that podcast, and he seemed to like it, so thanks again. As always, comments are so appreciated. It's the best way to move conversations forward and get a good exchange with those people that listen, so comments are always appreciated. And actually, this very show is the result of a comment left by Darren Jay, and he wanted to know a little bit about posing models and how to pose models, and I thought that was just a great suggestion for a podcast. But because I don't pose as many models as some other people that I know, I kind of enlisted wedding photographer Dominic Fizzotto to give us some tips on how he poses models. Dominic is an amazing, amazing wedding photographer. He's also a good friend of mine, and he agreed to share some tips with us. So let's get right into it now. So I'd like very much to introduce my friend Dominic Fizzotto, who's a fantastic wedding photographer. And he's on the line, and he's going to help us with this question about posing models for portraits. So I'm actually going to read you the actual question that I got, Dom. Hey there, Dom. How's it going?
Hi, doing great. How about you?
Very good, very good. So thanks for agreeing to help answer this question, which I'm going to read to you now. So, hey Marco, I really like to hear a podcast about posing models for portraits, types of poses that you think work well and ones that you don't. I know that interaction between photographer and model is very important, and this is one area which I could use a little bit of help. Thanks so much. And that question comes to us from Darren. So rather than my answering the questions, I thought I'd chew on your brain a little bit, Dom, since you do this every single weekend or almost every single weekend posing models. What's like the first tip that you're going to give someone if they ask you how to pose models?
I officially don't pose models. I pose ordinary people to look like models. So that's what's different. Usually a professional model knows how to pose, knows her body. So what I'm doing is actually a little bit harder. Ordinary people, and I'm trying to turn them into models. So my first key, what I tell them most of the time, is there's a relationship with your shoulders and the camera. If you're straight to the camera, it's the worst thing you can do to be photographed. Like, if you want it to look slim or proper, I usually turn the shoulders towards the camera, one shoulder, and it's not, like, it depends how much you want to turn your shoulders. I personally don't have them turn too much, just a bit. Kind of slims them out in terms of photography, how much space they occupy on the frame. And the other thing is I make them turn their head towards the camera and make them point their nose to the camera.
Because all that is going to have a slimming effect. Obviously, if you're going to shoot someone, regardless of their weight, if they're 100 or 150 or 200 pounds, if you're shooting them straight on, they're obviously going to look larger than if their body is being turned, obviously.
Exactly. But you also, it's dynamic, so it gives it kind of a little bit of an edge. It looks snazzier, I think. It looks better than looking straight onto the camera. It doesn't look as proper. Another thing I do for clients is actually ask them to put their hands behind their back. It props up their shoulders, so they look like they're not slouching. So it's a proper way of being posed, and it's quick. You know, you just show them the typical pose, and it happens instantly for everybody. It almost works for any body type.
How about hands in the pockets? Let's say for guys,
hands in the pockets. That was an '80s thing, a '90s thing. It does work, but in our town, it got kind of stereotyped as an Italian photographer, or that's the only pose you know. And it seems like the hands behind the back is a little bit more elegant. in my opinion.
Cool, cool. And what about, let's say, people that have larger noses? Again, is that going to be the tip, just looking straight at the camera?
Pretty much. I mean, like, if you shoot a profile, they're not going to be happy. They're going to be very, like, how would you say that?
Yeah, less than happy.
Yeah, less than happy. And, you know, looking straight in the camera, maybe lowering the angle a bit, like giving it a, I call it a nasty look, like lowering your chin and shooting them from high up or from low. It depends on the person's face. You know, just experiment a bit. I actually go out for a posing session before the event. I practice with them, see what works.
I think that's actually a good tip. I mean, if anyone could do it before the shoot, obviously, you know, during the shoot, you're going to have a better shot because not only are you going to know what poses work better, but you're also going to have a better rapport with them, aren't you?
100%.
Yeah.
You're going to know what makes them tick. So once they're comfortable, the most important thing is that they're comfortable. Once they trust you and, you know, you're ready to go, you can do anything you want.
Okay. And what about people like myself that are follically challenged, meaning have no body hair whatsoever? Okay. No hair on the head anyway.
You sound like an... Well, follically challenged, like bald people, you just want to keep them in shade. You want to make sure that the sun doesn't reflect off their head too much. So I've had a situation once where I did an event, and the people were in the sun. They were all bald by, you know, their choice because they shaved their heads. It looked as though they had half a head, like they didn't have the top part of their head. So you want to make sure you're in shade. There's not much else other than retouching it, but I don't go that way. I just tell the people to be happy with who they are.
That's actually good advice. But like, again, just to go back to your story for half a second, it's basically because the contrast was too high. If they're in direct sunlight, the camera can't handle all that contrast. So the camera doesn't record the top of their head. So
exactly.
It looks like they have no head. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, that's only if the sun's coming from the back of them. If I'm using the sun as a hair light, like the sun is in front of me and not vice versa, not in front of the client. In front of the client, that's not a problem. If it's the sun is behind the client, then their hair is going to disappear. Their head's going to disappear.
Might there still be a bit too much contrast, even if the sun is coming from the side, if it's bright sun, or the front, if it's really bright sun?
Not really.
No? Okay.
My story is from the back.
But still, in general, you prefer to shoot people with no hair in the shade. It just tends to look better.
Yeah, 100%. It's like so much easier.
Cool. And then in terms of like shade again in general, is that something that you like to advocate, shooting in the shade as much as possible? Do you like to play around a little bit? How does that figure into your shooting sessions?
Shade for me has got to be a specific type of shade. It's got to be shaded, but it's got to be shaded from the sun. So I would mean like in front of it, it would have a patch of sunlight that would be reflecting onto the clients. So actually my light source is from the ground. That's my most preferred lighting scenario, where the client's in shade, very comfortable with the eyes. And the light comes from the bottom.
From the bottom. Very, very interesting. Because the bottom, whatever the surface is acting as a reflector and lighting their faces?
100%. And they look fabulous.
Okay. What kind of surface are you going to try and use? Is grass going to do that? Is concrete going to do that?
Oh, that's a good question. Grass is the anti thing you want to use. Because if you're going to shoot color, grass actually reflects green.
Right.
So you want to make sure your reflection on the floor is like a stoneway, a rockway, or anything that's neutral color.
Okay, so if you are on the grass because there's nothing else around, you're probably not going to use that as a light source. You may try and use an additional light source, flash, reflector, something like that?
Yeah, 100%. I'd stay away from flash, but you know what? When you're, you know, given lemons, you make lemonade, you know, so whatever is available, you use.
Cool. Thanks for those tips. And what poses don't work well? Let's say you were never going to use a pose. What poses would you never use?
Unless it's for fun stuff, like, you know, making an effect, like the background's really interesting and you want to maximize the background, I never shoot low to the client. I'll never shoot into their nose, kind of. Like, let's say someone had a wide-angle lens and wanted to go down, you know, at their knee level and shoot up to the client, I would never do that. It would just make them look very large and awkward. You know, you'd also have distortion.
Okay, unless you were going for a special effect.
Yeah, but it's rare. People don't look good.
Okay. Yeah. And for your work, everyone wants to look their best.
Pretty much. That's my specialty.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. How about shooting from the top? Like, I guess, is that a pose that would work well? Let's say you go above them a little bit.
Yeah, it would work well. As long as the client, again, looks up to you and it doesn't look like if they have lifted their heads to you, it's perfect. I mean, it looks really nice. Their body's going to look very tiny and that could work, you know, for a larger person. I mean, it all depends on what you're going after. Another thing you can work with a heavier person or if you're working with a couple, and a couple, one is bigger and one is smaller, whether it's height or weight, you can pose them differently. You can put, it's all relative to the camera. So if you had a tall person and a shorter bride, a tall groom and a shorter bride, I would actually place the taller groom behind the bride so that the shorter bride is closer to the camera. As she's closer to the camera, she looks bigger. So it's all a little, it's a game. It's a game I play.
And that way, like, they're more even looking, right? Like, the height difference isn't as apparent?
Yes, exactly.
Cool. So totally. It was just a pretty short podcast. Is there anything else you want to add before we end?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, just have fun. Make the clients feel comfortable and they'll be happy with their photos.
Okay. Would you also say that, like, obviously, maybe practicing with some friends or family, probably a good thing to do if you're just getting into this?
100%. But you also don't want to kind of embarrass your friends or family. Like, hey, I'm testing on you.
Cool. Good advice. Good advice. Thanks so much for doing this, Dom. We're going to have some photos of yours on the blog for people to look to. And, you know, they can get an idea of what great photos look like and what good posing is. And that way they'll have something to shoot for.
No problem. Have a good day, Mark.
Thanks so much, Dom. Take care. Yeah. And that was our interview with wedding photographer Dominic Fizzotto from Montreal. And I want to thank him for doing that interview with us. It's the second time, I believe, that we've interviewed Dom. And he's a really good friend of mine, actually. So, you know, full on, he's a really good friend of mine. But he also happens to be a superb photographer. And you can check out his wedding photography at domphoto.com. Both a link and some photos of his wedding photography are going to be in the show notes. I've worked with Dominic many, many times over the past few years, and he totally knows his stuff. If you're looking for a wedding photographer in Montreal, Dominic should totally be one of your choices, and not because I work with him, because he has an amazing, amazing rapport with his clients, and he takes unbelievable shots. He really does. I'm not BSing you. You won't be disappointed. He also has a super fun way about him. This interview, he was actually a bit calmer than he normally is. He has a great rapport with his clients, so he's worth checking out for sure. So thanks again for that interview, Dom. Now, I think some of that interview is probably going to help Darren J with his question, but it's such a wide topic that I just wanted to talk just a little bit about lighting. Because it's really hard to talk about posing models effectively without mentioning lighting, because lighting helps shape the look of every single photograph. So although there are posing tips, which Dom was gracious enough to give us, you know, especially if you're in the studio, you know, what do you do? What kind of lighting do you use? And lighting, it's such a monster topic. It's going to be even impossible to really talk about it effectively in this short podcast. But what I will say is that you can use light to your advantage in order to pose models. So let's say that you have a heavy set model, for instance. Well, if you use side light, let's say, it's a very dramatic type of lighting. So, you know, depends what kind of look you're after. But just to illustrate the point is that if the light is coming from one side and the model has a really large face, well, what's going to happen is one side of the model's face is going to be lit and the other side of the model's face is going to be in shadow. So that shadowed side of her face or his face is going to make the face appear slimmer. And there's all kinds of lighting tricks that you can use depending on what body type you're going to use. You know, so thanks so much to Dom for giving us styles that look good, but really we also have to be aware of the lighting. And in future podcasts, we're going to talk about lighting as well. And I'll probably leave a link or two in the show notes as well to talk about good lighting for models. So I hope people enjoyed that podcast. I hope they learned from that podcast a little bit. As always, I'd love to get some comments about this podcast. I'd love to get some comments about the outro music that is going to play just shortly, which again was created by Mark Blevis. And thanks so much to Mark for his help in creating that. So in the meantime, everyone, just take it easy, relax, enjoy shooting, enjoy the camera, and just keep on shooting. Bye for now.